Of all the speech errors that politicians make, none seems to draw more criticism than saying nuclear as nuclear. George W. Bush is the most recent in the line of presidents who say nuclear, a mispronunciation that dates back to President Eisenhower. Linguist Jeff Nunberg considers the many reasons why some politicians just don't get it right.
There are two kinds of missteps that people make with language, the typos and the thinkos. Typos are those little processing glitches that sometimes intercede between a thought and its expression. They can make you look foolish, but they aren't really the signs of an intellectual or ethical deficiency the way thinkos are. It's the difference between a sentence that expresses an idea badly and a sentence that expresses a bad idea. People don't pay much attention to that distinction when they take after the errors and malaprops of presidents and other political figures. I've always felt that Dan Quayle got a bum rap over his inability to spell potatoes. I mean, there are people who can spell and people who can't, and God doesn't seem to have paid much attention to other cognitive capacities in spreading that gift around. And while critics were always making fun of Eisenhower's woolly language, it wasn't really a sign of woolly thinking. Most people realized that he was an astute politician, and he could write lucid prose when he felt like it. Ditto former President Bush. He may have had difficulty speaking in complete sentences, but that didn't mean he wasn't thinking in complete thoughts. No president has taken more flack over his language than George W. Bush, not Eisenhower, not even Harding. That's understandable. Bush's malaprops can make him sound like somebody who learned the language over a bad cell phone connection. My education message will resonate among all parents. A tax cut is really one of the anecdotes to coming out of an economic illness. The columnist and talk show hosts have tended to treat those errors as the occasions for mirth rather than concern, the linguistic equivalents of Gerald Ford's pratfalls. Bush himself encouraged that interpretation with those Letterman and Saturday Night Live appearances during the campaign when he made fun of his inability to pronounce subliminal and said he was ambivalent about appearing on the show. It was a shrewd maneuver, as Mark Crispin Miller points out in his recent book, The Bush Dyslexicon, a very penetrating look at Bush and his language. The self-mockery took the edge off the criticisms by painting Bush as just another irrepressible word mangler, sort of a Yaley Casey Stengel. But it isn't always easy to tell whether an error is a typo or a thinko. Take the pronunciation of nuclear as nuclear. That one has been getting on people's nerves since Eisenhower made the mispronunciation famous in the 1950s. In Woody Allen's 1989 film Crimes and Misdemeanors, the Mia Farrow character says she could never fall for any man who says nuclear. That would have ruled out not just W, but Bill Clinton, who said the word right only about half the time. President Carter had his own way of saying the word as nuclea, but that probably had more to do with his Georgia accent than his ignorance of English spelling. On the face of things, nuclear is a typo par excellence. People sometimes talk about Bush stumbling over the word, as if this were the same kind of articulatory problem that turns February into February. But nuclear isn't a hard word to pronounce the way February is. Just try saying each of them three times fast. Phonetically, in fact, nuclear is pretty much the same as sicklier or wrinklier, and nobody ever gets them wrong. That nuclear pronunciation is really what linguists call a folk etymology, where the unfamiliar word nuclear is reconfigured as if it had the same suffix as words like molecular or particular. It's the same process that turns chaise longue into chaise lounge. That accounts for Eisenhower's mispronunciation of nuclear back at a time when the word was a new addition to ordinary people's vocabularies. And it's why Homer Simpson says it is nuclear even today. But it doesn't explain why you still hear nuclear from people like politicians, military people, and weapons specialists, most of whom obviously know better and have been reminded repeatedly what the correct pronunciation is. The interesting thing is that those people are perfectly capable of saying nuclear families or nuclear medicine. I once asked a weapons specialist at a federal agency about this, and he told me, "Oh, I only say nuclear when I'm talking about nukes." In the mouths of those people, nuclear is a choice, a thinko, not a typo. I'm not sure exactly what they have in mind by it. Maybe there's an appeal in referring to bombs in such a folksy and familiar way. Or maybe it's a question of asserting their authority, as if to say, we're the ones with our fingers on the button and we'll pronounce the word however we damn well please. But where does Bush's nuclear come from? A lot of people seem to assume that he's just one of those bubbas who don't know any better. But that's hard to credit. After all, Bush didn't have to learn the word nuclear in middle age the way Eisenhower did. He must have heard it said correctly thousands of times when he was growing up, not just at Andover, Yale, and Harvard, but from his own father, who never seems to have had any trouble with the word. But if Bush's nuclear is a deliberate choice, is it something he picked up from the Pentagon wise guys? Or is it a faux bubba pronunciation, the sort of thing he might have started doing at Yale by way of playing the Texas Yahoo to all those earnest Eastern dweebs? Actually, there'd be an easy way to tell. Just look to see how Bush pronounces nuclear in phrases like nuclear family and nuclear medicine. If he says nuclear all the time, then it's most likely a faux bubba thing. But if he only says nuclear for weapons, it's probably a bit of borrowed Pentagon swagger. Anyway, I'll be keeping my ears peeled.
Jeff Nunberg is currently a fellow at the Stanford Humanities Center, and he's the author of the book The Way We Talk Now.